Okay, we're going to dig into the puzzle of the Great Depression, beginning Unit 6, Lesson 1. So it's kind of a tough scenario that went on in the United States and that affected Europe and across the world, essentially. So let's try to put ourselves right into the situation in the United States or Europe in the 1930s. We would be witnessing immense human misery amid a near meltdown of the economy, right? Friends and family are losing their jobs and have bleak prospects for new employment. Stores that you had shopped in all your life suddenly go out of business. The bank holding your money disappears, taking your savings with it. The government provides no insurance for unemployment, and there's no system of Social Security to provide support for your elderly relatives, right? This is a bad situation. There's no social safety net. There's no potential for employment. There's no way to bring in money to take care of your families, right? This is a bad deal, and this is in the 1930s in the United States and Europe. This is where it began. Economists and government officials at that time were bewildered, right? They were super confused. They had no idea what was going on or how to stop it or how to fix it. The experience in the United States and other countries was difficult to understand. According to the economic theories of the day, it simply was not possible. Policymakers had no idea how to bring about economic recovery. Yet, as you might imagine, there was considerable pressure for the government to do something about the problem. The questions that vexed the policymakers of the day was, what is happening? And what can the government do to help? This is the heart of the matter with the Great Depression. The government had no idea how to correct such a devastating experience to the market overall, the labor market, the stock market, everything, the depression of prices, right? The depreciation of our assets, the value of the currency. You know, all of those things, you know, people are in massive chaos. They have no idea what's going on. All of the stocks that they just held are now a quarter or a fraction less of the price. You know, the value that they had in their home is gone. You know, they have no more job because they closed the doors because they couldn't afford to manufacture anymore. And now these people had nowhere to turn. And the government had to figure out, how do we correct this? So as economists made sense of the events like the Great Depression, they did this by first accumulating facts and then using a framework to interpret those facts. We have a considerable advantage relative to economists and politicians at that time today. We have the benefit of hindsight, so we can see what's already happened and we can make course corrections as we go along to prevent these type of things from happening again. You know, we can use the data we looked at in the previous subsection, and these weren't known by the economists of that era, right? So you couldn't look back and have historical data from 1870 and 1930. There was no way to record that data and provide it on a mass scale. Whereas today we have the internet and computers and email, which helps us to track trends and understand things in real time, whereas back in those days they didn't have the advantage of technology. So economic theory then evolved over the last few decades, giving us a better framework on how to analyze this data. So there are two possible reasons why output decreased. Okay, there was a decrease in production due to a decrease in the available inputs in the aggregate production function, right? So overall, in the whole, right, the aggregate, the entire whole of the economy, less and less inputs were available, okay? So they didn't have enough raw materials to produce as much because resources became scarce, right? So therefore, there's no need for as much labor if the demand for these products are diminishing. So that's one problem, right? Because there was no massive Since there was no massive decrease in the amount of physical capital or the amount of workforce, people presumably did not suddenly lose all their human capital. This means that the culprit must have been a decrease in technology, right? So there was a decrease in aggregate spending as well. Households chose to reduce their consumption, firms chose to reduce their investment, and governments chose to reduce their spending. As a consequence, firms scaled back their production. So, therefore, households were holding tighter to their cash. They were spending less because they didn't know, there was no consistency in prices, there was no consistency in monetary value, there was no consistency in anything, so they had to hold on to their cash, not knowing, you know, what the outcome of this was going to be. So because they held on to their cash, they weren't buying products in the market to consume. So it was a big cyclical effect. Prices went down, people lost their jobs, asset prices went down, households held on to their cash, they weren't spending any money, they weren't consuming anything, firms weren't hiring, they weren't doing research and development, governments were, you know, in gridlock, they weren't spending any cash. So, you know, everything was falling apart. Nobody knew what to do. So during this time in the Great Depression, from 1929 to 1933, real GDP decreased by over 25%. The unemployment rate reached 25%, and prices decreased by over 9% in both 1931 and 1932, by nearly 25% of the entire period. The Great Depression remains a puzzle today. Both the source of this large economic downturn and why it lasted for so long remain active areas of research and debate within economies. One explanation of the Great Depression rests on the reduction in the ability of the economy to produce goods and services. The second leading explanation focuses on a reduction in the overall demand for goods and services in the economy. They kind of go hand in hand there, right? The ability of the economy to produce goods and services and the reduction in the overall demand. So they weren't able to supply it, therefore the demand goes down, and the demand goes down because people are scared. They don't want to spend their cash. They don't know what's going to happen next. So therefore the demand for the goods and services, that goes down, and then the ability to produce goods and services also decreases. So it's kind of a double whammy for the economy. When people stop spending and companies stop producing, there's no output. So we have got to make sure that we safeguard ourselves as a government and as a world economy, that this doesn't happen again.